Well, happy new year to those friends that have just crossed over with us from the Mountain Time Zone. This is the best in overnight talk radio. You're listening to Coast AM, and I'm Dave Schrader, sitting in for George Norrie. Tonight, all of the music you hear will be represented by artists that we've lost in the year 2016. Paul Kantner, Jefferson Airplane co-founder and guitarist, died at age 74 on January 28th. Signe Anderson, the original Jefferson Airplane singer who was replaced by Grace Slick, who you just heard on that song, died at the age of 74 on January 28th, the same day as Paul Kantner. We've got music coming up a little bit later on from Earth, Wind, and Fire, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, Prince, the Dixie Cups, Dead or Alive, Leonard Cohen, George Michael, and more. So stay tuned throughout the entire show. We'll celebrate the lives and music of some of these amazing musicians. We're also taking a look at 2017. What can we expect from this year? We just heard from famed astrologer Jeff Harmon about his perspectives on this. Joining us for the next hour, we're going to speak with Allison Bachman, and she is a professional numerologist, author, lecturer, and radio show host. We're going to discuss what the numbers have to say of 2017. What's in store for us? What can we look forward to? What might not be such great news? And a little later on in the show, we'll reflect back on the year that was 2016, celebrities and friends that we've lost through the years, some of your favorite memories, and we'd like to hear from you for your predictions for 2017. So we'll do that all tonight. Stay with me. I'm Dave Schrader, and you're listening to Coast AM. Allison Bachman joining me for this hour. She's considered to be an expert in the field of numerology, has appeared on numerous television and radio shows, and regularly teaches numerology. She has contributed articles to Yahoo and is a regular writer at Om Times Magazine and publishes a popular monthly newsletter. She's here to shed a little light on what the numbers tell us for 2017. Allison Bachman, our guest here on Coast to Coast AM. Allison, thank you for joining me tonight.
Well, thanks, Dave. Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you. This has been a weird year. 2016 has, you know, we've lost so many celebrities, so many musicians, politicians, astronauts, you name it. This has just been a year of tumultuous, you know, kind of upheaval. On top of that, you've got this political rift that broke apart our country and continues to do so. You've got strange things going on in foreign countries and political power seeming to be shifting, and it seems like we're coming to like a warlike area and state. What do you pick up from when you were looking at these numbers last year? Did you see a lot of this coming, or does this slip through even through numerology with just how bad things are going to look?
Well, I think I pretty much picked it up last year with the nine universal year, because the thing about the number nine is it goes to extremes, and it goes to extremes of emotions. And so if you look back to my predictions last year, that's really what I was talking about. And how, you know, this is where we got that two sides of the fence and then nothing in between as far as how we felt about the election. And the extremes of emotions that people were feeling. The nine, what I find really interesting with anyone that's in a nine personal year, but, you know, when we look at 2016, we were looking at a universal year. But a lot of my clients call me in a nine year. And usually these are the people that want their reading like yesterday. They don't want to wait until I can fit them into the schedule. You know, they have some sort of a crisis going on. And I usually know without ever even looking at their chart that more than likely they're in a nine personal year, because it brings endings, it brings completions, it brings closures. It's about letting go of things. Sometimes we're not doing that by choice. Sometimes it's just happening and we have to deal with the emotions that come with it. So last year was meant to be, you know, an extremely emotional year, and I think we all really felt it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're still feeling those blows to the body. I mean, we've talked, you know, on our show, Darkness Radio, and I know George has covered it on Coast, but I mean, there's just so much that's gone on. And I've looked at these articles, you know, did more celebrities really die this year than in the past? Why does it seem to be such an impact? And I'm wondering, do you think it's because it's just been one right after the other? It's been one body blow. It's not like they're being spaced out. It seems like every month brings the Reaper to some major celebrity's doorstep, and that's why people keep feeling this this ripple effect just continually washing over us?
Well, the Nine is, all right, I'm just going to be candid with you that when we're looking at people's personal charts, very often when it's time for someone to exit the planet, when it's time for their death, the Nine is usually present someplace in the chart. It's usually a number that is there, okay? So I'm not surprised by, and I think when they do the analytics on it, I think we'll find that more people probably died in the Nine universal year 2016 than, let's say, in other years, because that's, the Nine is one of those things that does represent death. And so I'm not surprised, but the good news is we're going into the one universal year, 2017 being a one universal year, so I would expect that we're going to have a lot of births. So I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to come around, and we'll probably have a lot more births 2017.
Well, Jeff mentioned it in the last hour, and you've brought it up a few times when you say a one universal year. For a lot of people that don't really understand how that breaks in, what does that mean, and how do you get a one when you look at 2017?
Well, let's just talk about universal year energy, okay? Universal year energy, we look at the year that we're in, and we break it down by adding the 2 plus the 0 plus the 1 plus the 7. So when you add that across, it becomes a 10. Now, we need to stop there for just one moment, because the 10, whenever you have a 0 attached to anything, it's kind of like putting it on speed. So it kind of intensifies the energy. So I'm really kind of looking at 2017 as being a very intense one universal year. When we're trying to understand, well, what does this one universal year energy mean? I mean, what does it mean? This is the energy that affects everything on the planet, every person on the planet. This is the energy that really, when it's all said and done, will tell the story of global events. So it's really kind of giving us a little bit of foreshadowing on what we can anticipate as far as world events in 2017.
These numbers, how do we end up looking at a number and knowing what kind of power it wields or how weak this number can be for a year? When you're doing numerology, I mean, where do these rules and principles originate from?
Okay, well, numerology really is based on ancient knowledge. It's based upon the teachings of Pythagoras. It has ties to Rome, Egypt, Greece, China. It even has ties to the Hebrew Kabbalah. So this is really ancient knowledge. And we look at numbers as you know, when we think in terms of math, adding and subtracting and whatnot. But really, each number has energy. And it's defined. It's not like we don't make this stuff up. Numerologists don't make it up. You know, it is knowledge that's been handed down. So each number is like an archetype. It represents a certain type of energy. Okay. So when we look at the number one, okay, this is really the number of leadership, okay, and also like having confidence is the number of power. It's really the number of new beginnings, starts, being, you know, pushing forward. You know, this is some of the most successful people on the planet, entrepreneurs, you have this one energy, and this is what we're talking about. So numbers really, I don't know whether you want to call it personality or characteristics, but we can look at each individual number, and by looking at that, we can understand, you know, what that energy, what that number can create.
All right. Now, looking to, as you decide to go forward with the predictions for this year, I asked you to give me kind of a comprehensive list of what you looked at, what are we going to be talking about, and you know, when you're going to go into it, how do you decide what you want to look into? I mean, are you just looking into what you know the global fears are at this point or interests? Or as you're looking at numbers, do certain things just jump out at you that you're like, wow, this month is going to be a big month for political change, for financial change, for deaths? I mean, are there things like that seem to surface even though you're not necessarily seeking those out?
Okay. Well, my process, I want to go back to Juno Jordan, who is one of the, probably one of the most well, you know, has the most books, the most known numerologist. And she was probably one of the very first ones that started doing predictions using numerology. And, you know, when I approach each month, each universal year, when I'm looking at that, first I look at the energy of the number, okay? So what I'm doing is I'm really tuning into that and giving that very careful consideration. But and looking for, what I feel will surface. But I also, there's another process that I go through, which whenever we look at the October, like if we go back to October 2016 and we look at world events and what was going on the planet in October, that the month of October always gives us a little bit of a precursor or a little bit of a heads up as to the types of things that can unfold in the following year. So one of the things that I usually do in October is I literally do a tremendous amount of research, and I look into, you know, world events and what's going on the planet, and I take that into consideration. I have lists and lists and lists of things that I write down. And then I believe that there's a certain amount of intuitiveness that's involved as well, as knowing which ones to hone in on and which ones to, you know, bring forward and kind of make a comment on. So that's really what my process is.
When you started to look at the charts for this year, mm-hmm. were there any major surprises to you? I mean, anything that once you looked at it, you were like, ooh, boy, that's something I wish I could unknow?
Yeah. I think the thing that I wish that I could unknow is really, I believe that it was in one of the things that I mentioned, was the potential for aggression. Because if we understand the energy of the number one, sometimes it can be extremely aggressive. And when we look at the, you know, this time on our planet, and we're forging on into this new 9-year cycle, okay, and we have this energy of the one that's really pushing us forward. And the thing that I would want to unknow, I guess, is just understanding the potential for any type of aggression, especially when you kind of look at, let's say, North Korea, or we look at, you know, China, you know, the potential of what problems might unfold in China. I just feel like this year, more so than any, has the potential for aggression. And quite frankly, if you go back in time and you kind of pull out the one universal years from the past, there's a lot of wars began, or a lot of, sometimes not necessarily the war, but the things that actually caused the war, meaning certain events that led up to a war, these all kind of happened in one universal years. So historically going back, you know, whether we're looking at the Finnish Civil War began in 1918, which was a one universal year, the war in Mexico was in 1927, a one personal year, so universal year. So we can look back and we can look at the previous one universal years, and we can see a certain pattern of aggressiveness. Another thing that kind of concerned me was assassinations. And I'm not saying in any way that I'm talking specifically about Donald Trump, so I just want to precursor that by saying that, but there are a lot of assassinations that actually, and coups of governments, overthrows of governments that took place in one universal year. Once again, the aggression coming through. But if we go back historically, we know that John Kennedy was assassinated in 1963, which was a one universal year. Ronald Reagan was shot in 1981. Once again, it was a one universal year. Pope John Paul was attempted assassination. Ronald Reagan, yeah. John Paul was in, oh God, when was that be? 1990. John Paul. And then we also had some other, like, foreign diplomats and whatnot attempted assassinations in a one universal year. So what I'm trying to say there is that there's that potential as well. So I think it was the, for me, being a peace-loving hippie, so to speak, you know, that would have been the thing that probably caused the most alarm for me.
Now, are these things set in stone? Once you've put this out there, and I often wonder about this, once predictions are made, a lot of the listeners wonder how much of it becomes self-fulfilled prophecy because it's been said. Do we then put ourselves into the position to make that occur? Or can we, in fact, after hearing these kind of predictions, do something proactively to stop this from occurring?
Okay. Well, in my humble opinion, that let's say we're taking a look at a person's numerology chart, and the energy is there, and we have options of how we use that energy. We can use it in a positive way, or we can use it in a negative way. We also have an opportunity of how we experience whatever happens. You know, perception is everything. You know, looking at things in a positive way or looking at things in a negative way. So I feel like there is, I feel like there are some things that are written into stone, and I feel that there are other things that we have that option of pulling forward the positive as opposed to the negative. So, and in just simply making a prediction, I'm just a numerologist making a prediction based on numerology, okay? Does that necessarily mean that what I'm saying is set in stone? This is my humble opinion based on a one universal year.
Are there people, if I have a one universal year as my birth year for numerology in a one universal year, does that make it a stronger year for persons like that, or does it end up working against them as though two conflicting powers in one place?
If you're in a one personal year, which let's just clarify that for your listeners, universal year is based on 2017, so it applies to everyone on the planet. A personal year is really based upon your date of birth, and it applies to you personally. So someone could have a one personal year in conjunction with a one universal year. And this can be a very positive thing, because technically that person could start, initiate, begin, or have a new opportunity that really could turn into something rather huge down the road and in the future. Because you've got to understand, in the one year we're planting a seed. Okay, in the one year, we're beginning a process of something that is going to unfold over the next 9 years. So that one year, you really want to take action on something, you really want to begin or start, or you really want to lay the groundwork for something, quite like what we're doing with President Trump coming in and the new administration, and we're probably setting a different course for the United States of America. But this is something you're going to be working on over the next 9 years. So going back to someone in a one personal year, in conjunction with a universal year that's a one, it can be a very powerful thing, and it also can be very significant because, you know, quite frankly, they have greater chances to be extremely successful at it. But it certainly would be an intense year, but it gives them almost like a little bit of magic mojo in their chart to be particularly successful at something.
When you're employing numerology, are there different styles of numerology? Like when we were talking with Jeff, there's certainly many different ways that astrology can be looked at, and different charts, different you know, ways to populate the information. With numerology, is it pretty well set one rule effect kind of deal, or are there many different versions of how numerology can play into what might be told?
Okay. Well, there's different types of numerology. There's Chaldean, there's Pythagorean, but there's also Indian. There's different types, but I'm going to tell you that for the most part, it's based on calculations and it's based on set, almost like scientific, you know, so each number's meaning doesn't change. It's like you can't come along and change the meaning of the number four. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? So, I want to, you know, kind of touch on something that I'm particularly skeptical about things as a rule. And you have to understand that not only do I do numerology, but I do an extensive amount of research and looking for validation. I'm not the type of person that likes to make something fit. It has to prove itself to me. And for me, you know, what I love about numerology is it is scientific to a certain point. It uses very specific calculation methods. It has real defined definition to what the meanings of the numbers are, and I find it to be extremely accurate and almost surprisingly so. And that's what made me really kind of fall in love with it, is how amazing it really can be when we're looking for insight, whether in someone's life or certainly when we're looking at the universal year energy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and begin to take a look at some of the predictions Allison has on board for us for 2017. We'll do that next on Coast to Coast AM. That's a little Emerson, Lake, and Palmer with Lucky Man. This year, two founding members passed away. Keith Emerson passed away on March 11th at the age of 71. Greg Lake, co-founding member, passed away on December 7th at age 69. Remember, throughout the entire show tonight, we'll be listening to some of the best music from the musical artists we lost this year. We've got a great show lined up for you as we're doing predictions for 2017, taking a look at the year that is to come. We'll do some reflections of the year that passed next hour. Take your phone calls. We'll also hear from you, the listeners. I want to know what your predictions are. What do you think will occur in the year 2017? We'll jot them down, and I'm sure George or myself or whoever hosts next year will review these with you as well, and we'll also take a quick look at some of the predictions listeners made last year for the year 2016. That's what's going on, and if you've missed any part of tonight's show and you'd like to be able to catch up and figure out what all the predictions are, it's very simple. Go to coasttocoastam.com, become a Coast Insider, a one-year subscription. Breaks down only 15 cents a day, and that'll give you access to 5 years of past archives, all the great live chats with George Norrie, the other hosts, and some of the amazing guests you hear on the show, and you get access to online content and more. Speaking of which, go check out Coast to Coast AM right now. Some of the highlights we have going on, 16 of the weirdest stories from 2016. There's also the coolest and craziest creature sightings of 2016, and the many solved and unsolved mystery stories of 2016. That's just a few of the bits of information you can get if you visit the website right now. Go check out coasttocoastam.com. While we go back to the break, we'll come back more Allison Bachman, and numerology tells us what 2017 has in store for us next. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm Dave Schrader, Allison Bachman, my guest for the remainder of this hour. Allison, let's dive right into it. This next 20-25 minutes are going to go fast. What are some of the predictions that the numbers have told you we can look forward to and maybe not look so forward to for 2017?
Sure. Well, what I love about a one universal year is it really is a time of inventiveness, you know, like really thinking outside of the box. So I just think that, like, whether we're looking at technology or advances in medicine or even new businesses, I just think that this is going to be a very exciting year for us. I think, you know, one of the things is going back and looking at previous one universal years. I think it's really exciting when you listen to the list of things that actually got started in a one universal year, like Disney World, for one thing, television, Burger King, soap operas, diet soda, the first kidney transplant. I mean, there's a huge, huge list. Our first superhero, I think that's really exciting. Even our first African-American president. These are all things that happened in a one universal year. So it's going to be a big year of first, and certainly a really wonderful year for, you know, invention. So that's something really to look forward to. So I kind of, that makes me happy. I don't know if you, like economy, like,
Well, just out of curiosity, with the good things that you see, are there specific months that jump out at you as these are really going to be good, prosperous, happy months for us in the United States, or is each month kind of yin and yanged, where we're going to have some really high points and some really low points?
Well, the way I kind of would say is the one universal year really is the vibration of the whole entire year, okay? So I think that each month as we progress, I mean, each month, I think you're going to see this energy building and certainly coming to completion come September. And then once we get into October, then we're going to start seeing some signs or where we're going to be going in the following year. So I think that it's something that starts off and then it begins to build. I think specifically when we get into the economy, I think there would be certain months that, you know, we would want to, like, pay special attention to the economy and where potentially we might have some issues. I don't know if you want me to discuss that, but yeah.
Certainly, yeah. What have you got for us we can keep an eye on?
Okay. Well, I think going back again and looking at one universal years, for the most part, they've been really positive for the U.S. economy and the economy in general. So that's a good thing. But there will be, I think, some tricky months, and the reason being is just the numbers. And so if I'm going to be looking at the markets and if I'm going to be looking at times where potentially you might see, you know how like every once in a while there's a one-day huge drop, maybe there's some bad economic news and, you know, there's a little bit of fearful selling and sell-offs and things like that, choppy days. For me, you know, I would certainly look at April, July, August, and December. Those are months that I would flag to, you know, pay attention, careful attention to the stock market, okay? Because those would be potentially the months where we might see some major fluctuations. But as a rule, I'm not really seeing this economy. I feel like it's really kind of a positive number economically. I think in certain areas, maybe with the housing market, I think some of our problems with the housing market, we went through the 2008, let's go back to that. That was a one universal year, but they had that big eight sitting at the end of that. And the eight is one of those karmic reckoning sort of numbers where, you know, what goes around comes around, and anything that was unethical or anything, this is where it's accounted for. So that really was the reason that we had so many problems in 2008 with the economy being a one universal year, right? But this is not an eight universal gear. This doesn't have that big eight sitting in the end of it. So I really kind of feel much more positive. But the housing market still has got some adjustments to make, because I think with the higher interest rates, I think, you know, it's harder for people to purchase homes. I feel like rent has gone up quite a bit all over the United States. So I think it's going to be harder to buy houses. So I think if we're going to see any issues, I think it might be in that particular market. You know, that would be the one place, I think, with the economy that would just cause me a little bit of alarm, okay? Now,
all right, we'll keep an eye out for that. All right, go ahead.
Okay. Now, the only, when we're looking at other countries with the economy, I'm just not overly jumping up and down for Britain and China. I think that those two countries really might have a more difficult configuration with their economy. So those would be the two that I would. And of course, you know, we're all globally interlinked, so when they have problems, we have problems, but I feel like theirs is not going to be quite as, you know, robust. So, and there's certain companies that pop up, okay, and so quite often I kind of flag certain companies that I think will be having issues, and I think Wells Fargo still has a long way to go. Whether there's some karmic reckoning still going on with that company as far as unethical practices, but I feel like we're going to be seeing and hearing a lot about that. We also, my list would go to Sears or Kmart, Chipotle, Samsung still. I know that they had some problems with the 7 phone, which is really kind of funny because a 7 is things that are hidden. 7 is one of those numbers that really can have some technological problems with it. So I think if I was them, I would have skipped entirely over the 7 and gone to a different number. If they had they asked me, I would have given them that advice. But Ford Motor Company, Apple, Johnson & Johnson, those are companies I think that will not necessarily have a stellar year, okay? Netflix and McDonald's looks like it's going to be a really positive year for them. So if I'm going to pick specific companies, and I'm not the kind of person that sits there and studies the stock market. These are just things that popped up at certain times that made me pay attention to that. So to me, if I was going to flag anything, it would be those is in the U.S. for having some difficulties.
All right, everybody jot that down so I know where to make all of my my purchases this year in stocks and bonds, Allison. I'm knocking on your door if they fall on me, all right?
Okay, that's okay. I had one lady follow me around when I was making a prediction for Apple. I think she called me every other month. So, and Apple happened to have a bad year that year, but it was kind of funny.
Now, what about, you know, I asked our first guest, Jeff Harmon. There's quite a few people. I've been getting emails all week. They knew I was going to be hosting tonight, and their prediction was that there will be not just a failed attempt at a suicide or assassination on Donald Trump, but, you know, one that we hear about later. Oh yeah, there was an attempt at it. There will actually be a severe attempt made on him in a public situation. Do you pick any of that up with the numerology side of things?
Well, in all honesty, as I said previously in the show, that was one of the things that comes along with the aggression of the one universal year, and that previously and historically there's been a lot of assassination attempts in that particular year. So it would not be something that surprised me, per se. When I look at his chart, when I wrap my mind around his chart, you know, I'm not necessarily seeing it as being an easy year for him, because I see his energy is challenged to that year. He does have karmic implications in his chart that kind of go into this year, 2017 and 2018. So I'm not saying that I don't feel that he can do a really good job. One of the things that I said about President Obama is, as much as I admired him, I always had a problem with a president having a karmic chart. And in Obama's particular case, he had what is called a 19-1, and that means abuse of power. So quite often when a person has that in their chart, they get themselves into situations where they're powerless, where they don't have their power. And that was one of my, you know, as much as I might have supported President Obama, I wished I could have erased that number out of his chart because I wanted to give him more power. And I think that was somewhat, you know, something that played itself out throughout his presidency. When I look at Donald Trump, he has a lot of karma that sits in his chart. And, you know, going into next year with him, he's going into a three personal year. So with a three, when anybody's in that energy, it kind of enhances their ability to express themselves. And sometimes without the edit button, sometimes without thinking before you say something. And when we understand Donald Trump, we know that he does this naturally. And I really feel that this is something he's working on or learning in this lifetime. This is kind of a major focal lesson for him, the power of his words. So when you get into the three personal year for him, you know, my concern is about him speaking before he thinks or saying something that may have far-reaching ramifications without, you know, giving it a careful thought. So that is one major thing. And as I said, his sensitivity, you know, a lot has been said about how he has difficulty taking criticism, and this is also very much sitting in his chart. He has this configuration of somebody, it's almost like peer pressure. I want everybody to like me. I want everybody to be my friend. And being very sensitive to what other people think. And this is something also that it's a challenge that he's working on. So that challenge and those tendencies for Donald Trump are very strong for next year. So we'll have to look at how he reacts to criticism and certainly how he expresses himself and what he says without thinking, because I think that can be a major thing.
Now, do you see any maturity on his level? Do you think that will start to fade with his grasp of this new job? I mean, you know, I know a lot of people are very worried about what kind of position his going off the rails could put us in this country. Right. Others feel that it's a very good thing to have that, but, you know, what do you see in the numbers for that?
As I said, cautionary tale for him for 2017. I feel like if at any given time he was, if you think that, you know, again, whether you're for him or whether you're against him, I'm just interpreting the chart, okay? So I'm giving the numerology on it. So, you know, it's like, don't start unfriending me on Facebook. But so what I'm trying to say is that this is going to be a major focal point for him next year, and he's in tricky waters regarding that. So I feel potentially he certainly could open mouth, insert foot. And, you know, that he has to be careful about, because when you say something on Twitter, you know, you don't want it to be, you know, setting U.S. policy on Twitter. You know what I'm saying? I think it needs to be taken more seriously than that. And you can't put policy in 144 characters. You know, you have, that's something that you know, takes a great deal of maturity and diplomacy. You know, that sort of a thing. So yeah, that's a big concern for me for him next year. Absolutely.
You also had something come in through the numbers regarding extinction. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what's going on with that?
This had to do with something I picked up on in October when I was, like I say, doing research and looking at world events. And what's interesting is going back in time to previous one universal years, there was extinction of, I wish I could remember, if this was Jeopardy, I would fail at it. But there was extinction of an animal, a species of animal, insect, something along those lines in a one universal year. And it was something I picked up on in October, so that's why I put it in my predictions.
All right, and you're not quite sure what it is. You're just picking up that there will be an extinction. How do you get that detailed of information from looking at the numbers for the year and so on? What jumps out at you that tells you that something like that could happen?
Okay. For me, again, going back to the fact that October, the window of October sets the tone. It's like it gives us an indication of what we can expect in the upcoming year, okay? Mm-hmm. Because in any given year, October, it matches the exact number of the upcoming universal year, so the numbers match. So we can look at the energy of that particular month, and it gives us indications. And there was, whether it was articles or whether it was suggestions about potential extinctions or mentions of it in the news, but it made me pick up on it, and it was for me, you have to understand that there's a certain amount of understanding the numbers, understanding numerology, understanding the meanings, doing the research, but also there's a certain amount of intuitiveness that kind of stood out on the page to me. So that's why I put it in my predictions.
All right. Quickly, I know time's going to slip away in the next 3 or 4 minutes here. Protests, you see quite a bit going on with that. Chicago and the weather, what have you got going on those three fronts for us?
I think it's going to be a huge year for protests. Really, I do, because the aggression goes all around, okay? So I think that we can see, and I feel like we're going to be making, maybe policy about protests as well. You know, I hope that, we have that ability to, be able to speak our minds, our freedom of speech. But I feel like it's going to be a big year for protests. I think that California may lead the way with that as well. So that is something that we should look to California, because I think there'll be a lot of major protests there. One of the things I did want to bring up was that power outages, cyber attacks, and internet outages. I think that there will be, I think we're going to be seeing like attempts to bring down the internet. I think that there will be a period of time where, an extended period of time where a large millions of people will be without the internet access. And also I feel like there could be attacks on the infrastructure. So I really feel the cyber attacks, internet outages is going to be a big news story next year. So that's something I did want to mention. As far as the weather goes, one of the things that I always tracked was hurricanes, and looking at the year and looking at, intensity. And we started to, it went for a very long time there where it was very quiet in the Atlantic. But we're coming into a time now where there's an uptick with this. So I'm once again, just like we experienced in October 2016, I think that we're going to be seeing a major hurricane come up the eastern seaboard, whether that, going all along the eastern seaboard, but a lot of flooding and whatnot tied to that. So people, I really feel like if the hurricane's coming, take it seriously, because there's going to be some intensity with that.
We've got about a minute and 20 seconds left here. You've got an outlook. You think Howard Stern could be in some trouble this year. You're worried about an accident or health-related problems for him in 2017?
Mm-hmm. Yes. When certain people, like I say, I don't necessarily do celebrities per se. I don't go up and down the board on that. But with him in particular, he's got a lot of five energies in a five-year. Fives are accident-prone. And there seems to be like this configuration in his chart that I feel like there's either a major change with him, but also, it could be an accident with him, because I feel like something really surprising, unexpected with Howard Stern, and it's all just based on his personal chart.
And last, Tom Brady, America football quarterback for the New England Patriots, you say is in for a difficult territory in 2017. You don't think it's going to be a real stellar year for him?
Right, exactly. And that's all based on his chart. It's based on the information in his chart. There's certain years where you're on and there's certain years where you're not. And I'm just saying that not necessarily at the beginning of the year, but as we move through 2017, I just really feel that this is not going to be his year. I just want to say that based on his chart.
I will forward all of the predictions that Allison made over to our webmaster, see if he can post those up somewhere so that you can see all of the predictions she made that we couldn't get to as well. Special thanks to Jeff Harmon and to Allison Bachman for joining us for their predictions. We'll open up phone lines at the top of the next hour. We want to hear from you. What are your predictions? What are your thoughts for 2017 and for the year we just passed in 2016? We'll be back when we return here on Coast to Coast AM.